Today I'd like to talk to you about how semantic web technologies can help you get a better handle on the large disparate data sets that are starting to become available to entomologists. The semantic web is an enhancement of the current web. It allows machine interpretable statements to be made about pages and data so that the meaning of the contents can be clear. Under the current system, a search for information about the state of Wisconsin will return everything about that has the word Wisconsin in it. And what you want to do is you want to disambiguate that information or that data or those pages that refer to the state of Wisconsin from data that refers to the Avenue Wisconsin in Washington, D.C. For each species, there's a large amount of related information, and unfortunately, it exists in separate databases and formats. Semantic web technologies can help you tie this all together, and as a result, you get a queryable electronic knowledge base that you can then use for your research. I think that these tools can help, these tools and techniques can help you incorporate this information into a useful knowledge base that's usable for not just your work, but for researchers in other fields. There also seems to be a growing trend among funding agencies to fund those projects which the data is made available to other scientists. And the best example of this are the large DNA sequencing projects in which someone sequences some data for a particular project, and then that data is available to answer all sorts of other questions, including phylogenetic questions. And from the perspective of the funding agencies and the public at large, I think that they see these kinds of projects as ones that maximize utility of the scientific effort. So the utility of each of the workers is maximized. Now, if you choose not to mark up your data in a way and share it on the web, you can still benefit from these technologies because they allow you to run queries to test hypotheses, queries to generate hypotheses, and also find those serendipitous, previously invisible associations. What I'd like to do is to use some examples of the work that I've been doing with Ken Raffa's lab at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, as well as Lyric Bartholomew's lab at Iowa State University. Both of these groups have a large amount of disparate information about species, and if you think of it in terms of the facts that you need to follow, there are two kinds of facts: facts about the species and facts about the location and the time. And for each species, there's a large amount of data, and for each location time, there's a large amount of data. And what you want to do is you want to tie in all these things together in a form that you can then use. Okay. Now, the way you do this is that each thing, like a species or a county, needs unique machine identifiable identifiers so that a computer can recognize those things that are the same and those things that are different. So here's an example. We have databases with county records. In one database, they have counties listed as La Crosse County. In another, they have it listed as La Crosse. If you look at the tables in the individual databases, one uses county as the attribute, the other one uses CNTY. And what you want to do is you want to link and merge these records together so that it's clear that you mean that a particular species was observed in a particular county. So semantic web identifiers make this possible. And what you, for instance, we want to make a statement that Eucleritatis triseriatus was observed in La Crosse County, Wisconsin. We need to make machine interpretable, unambiguous identifiers for each part of that statement. And the semantic web uses globally unique identifiers called universal resource identifiers to identify concepts and properties. These URIs are based on web technologies in part so that they can be looked up. We're fortunate that there is already an existing semantic web project called GeoNames, which serves as a good example of this. GeoNames has thousands of URIs for geographic entities. Their URI for La Crosse County, Wisconsin is this string of characters here. It's both a unique ID and a link to its definition. So if you take that ID, you paste it into your browser, it will resolve to a page that helps define what you're talking about. The next step is to create a unique ID for the property observed in. And in this example, I'd like to talk about how you can create your own URIs. One of the main advantages of the semantic web is that for those things that don't exist in a standard vocabulary, you can create your own URIs to mean something. And so I decided to make a URI for the property species observed in county. And this property is, the URI for this is here. So now anybody can go and take that, and it's clear that the meaning of that is that this species was observed in this county. So now, in the meaning of it, what it actually means is it's those species that are either collected or photographed or otherwise recorded in a particular county. The next part of this is to create a URI that's unique for each species. And you can think of it as you could think of organizing this based on the genus and species name. But what will often happen is when the taxonomy is revised, that link is broken to all your other data. So what I did is I made the explicit decision that a species is a real thing to which different taxonomic hypotheses are applied. Many other groups will argue that the taxonomic hypothesis is the species concept. This is best illustrated by an example. One biologist may refer to a specimen of the eastern treehole mosquito as Aedes triseriatus. Another might refer to that same specimen as Oclerotatus triseriatus. They both agree that they are talking about the same species, but they are assigning different taxonomic hypotheses to that. Since my primary goal is tracking distinct species entities, not taxonomic hypotheses, I've decided to create the URI based on the species concept. But in my database, I store both the current name, the synonym, as well as links to databases about other synonyms. Okay, now we get to the harder things. How do I do this in a way that can handle millions of species, since there's potentially millions of species concepts? There is already existing a widely used algorithm that creates unique universal IDs. And if you use Windows, if you use any sort of thing, Mac, it's hidden in your registry or hidden in your files are various UUIDs. You'll find them in your hard drives. So this problem has already been solved by computer science a long time ago. And what I decided to do is create UUIDs, which are long enough and globally unique so that no UUID can, the meaning of no UUID can be confused with the meaning of another. So here is an example of what is my URI for the species concept for Oclerotatus triseriatus. And in order for this to work well on the semantic web, the IDs need to be both in the form of URI and resolvable. So that in that case, they're similar in form to the geoname URIs. And when I paste this into a browser, it will resolve to a page which has the current genus and species name, as well as other information about that species. And if the genus and species name change, that this same URI will resolve to a new page which has the new genus and species. Okay, now what do you do once you have all these URIs and have it all clear, all the meaning all clear as to what all these things mean? The URIs allow you to make machine processable statements of the following form: subject, predicate, and object. So an English text version of this would look like, Oclerotatus triseriatus has been observed in La Crosse County, Wisconsin. The machine processable version of it looks like this. And it's important to understand that this markup is not for humans to process. This markup is actually in the database so that the meanings of the statements are clear to both machine and to humans. Once you start to have a number of these things together, you can start to create what are called triples, and triples consist of subject, predicate, and object. And you can think of triples as chunks of knowledge, and triples can be made to represent any form of knowledge. And they also allow multiple forms of information to be merged. So here are some examples of some English triples, and I'll just use one of them. Culex pipiens is a known vector of West Nile virus. So this is a little factoid that you then can load into what's called a semantic data store, which is sort of like a database, but it's optimized for dealing with triples and querying triples. So you can load millions of these facts into this knowledge base and then run queries on it. So examples of some of the queries could be, what species have been observed in La Crosse County? What species are predators of Ibs pinnae? And are there any observations in the database of Ibs pinnae at locations with a DMET degree value of less than 2,000? The semantic web is a very kind of complicated thing to get across, and what I have hoped today is to give you an idea of some of the issues and some of the techniques that are important in using this technology. But I think that if done so, you can then create data sets that are in knowledge bases that are useful for your own research, as well as mergeable with work from other people. So if someone's doing something on the same species, they're doing gene expression data, that data is then mergeable with the species occurrence records. Thank you.
Take a question or two. There's one in the back.
Okay, question? Well, probably the best way to start is if you just do a Google for semantic web, it will start to sort of give you an explanation of some of the things involved, and probably start out and get a basic idea of what's going on. But what the key features are that for each thing that you want to define, whether it's a species or a property of that species, you need to create some sort of a unique identifier so that it can be understood. Now, you don't always have to have those identifiers resolvable, but it's best to have them resolvable, because then if you're looking at a set of data and you want to figure out what do they mean by this particular concept, if it's marked up in the right way, all those definitions should be online and easily retrievable. And then what I didn't mention was that it's retrievable not only for humans, but your machine can actually go through and get resolve that URL and pull out additional information about that place. So if I load up my data and say that, you know, this was found in this county, and I go to GeoNames has a whole bunch of other information about that county, including what state it's in, what locations are within it, what the populations of those locations are, and then I can just tie that all into all sorts of things like soil type and degree day and all sorts of information. Any other questions? Okay, thanks.